Acts chapter 14, if you found your place, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to just begin verse 1. It's just a few extra verses, and we'll read down through verse 20 this morning. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part held with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the regions that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garland unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities, unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, which persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to be in your house this morning. Thank you for these that's come out on this drizzly, cloudy day, Lord, and I just pray that you'd help us just to have receptive hearts to the Word of God. I pray we've come for no other purpose but to worship you. Lord, you know the hearts of each and every one here today, Lord, and I just pray that you search our hearts, Lord. And God, I pray if there's one here today that's lost and don't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that this will be the day that they'll come to the realization their need of a Savior, take their place as a sinner, and trust you in the free pardon of sin. Lord, we thank you for the songs that's been sung. Lord, I pray now that you'll help us for just a little bit. Lord, this one place we don't want to stand alone. Lord, we need your touch. We need your help. Lord, we need that anointing. Lord, I pray you'd give liberty to preach this morning. Lord, I pray your will be done. We love you and thank you again for all your many blessings. In Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach from this passage of Scripture, verses 8 through 20 this morning, on what to do when you're rocked and left for dead. What to do when you're rocked and left for dead. The term missionary journey sounds exciting, but the reality was that Paul and Barnabas experienced a lot of danger, physical sufferings, and pain. After a great ministry in Iconium, the Apostle Paul arrived in Lystra, and just as before, he was predictably bold. Despite his best intentions to serve the Lord, he was misunderstood and stoned. In times of adversity, we usually want God to do a removing job when he really wants to do an improving job. To realize the necessity of the anchor we need to fill the storm, God has had a purpose in every trial that Paul endured, and he never forsook his servant. And I'm glad that God's promised us he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And as we look through the book of Acts, we see a lot of things happening as the Lord begins to move. He pushing the apostles out into various regions. We read of the blessing of the preaching of the gospel. And we see people being saved, but at the same time we see problems when you preach the gospel. When you preach the truth, it's not always going to be, as I say a lot of times, hunky-dory. Sometimes it's going to be problems, it's going to be persecutions, and people are going to resist the gospel. And, you know, the tulip doctrine of Calvinism, they teach that point of irresistible grace. But I'm going to tell you, if you look in your life, when you were early on in your life, before you trusted Christ as your Savior, there was a lot of times that you resisted the gospel. When the gospel was preached to you, and you rejected it, and you didn't go forward at that time, and you was trying to go in your own way. Well, these people were resisting the gospel. Paul was doing a little more than preaching the truth, he and Barnabas. And we find that he encountered a lot of problems. I mean, everybody's not going to be glad that you're preaching the gospel to them. Because when the gospel's preached in its power and the truth of the Word of God, it exposes what we are, that we're sinners, that we're in need of a Savior, that we can't save ourselves. And we see that Paul and he endured these things in his ministry as he went from place to place. And we think a lot of times these missionaries come through that it's a glamorous job. A lot of times it's not. When they get to the foreign fields and the places that God sends them, they encounter a lot of situations. A lot of the places they go, there's a lot of occult practices. Then a lot of places there's Muslims. There are different kind of religions, and even a lot of places is Catholicism, which is just a glorified cult. I mean, if they believe the way that they say they believe, they can't be saved. The only way a person can be saved is going through Jesus. I'm glad that we don't have to go through Mary that gets in touch with Jesus, that gets in touch with God. But I'm glad we have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And this morning, that's what Paul was preaching. He was preaching Jesus, the one and only way. And it got him in trouble on more than one occasion. And we find out here as he comes to Lystra, very familiar story of where the Apostle Paul was stoned and left outside the city there for dead. And a lot of controversy, and I'll probably say some more about that. But we don't know exactly what happened, but we know that they did leave him outside the city for dead. A lot of people speculate on that. But we know that they did stone him to the point that he looked dead. They left him outside for dead, for the animals and the buzzards to pick on. But yet Paul got up, he walked back in, and he kept doing what he knew to do. I mean, he kept preaching the gospel, what God had sent him to do. And so we see here, as we look at the Apostle Paul, and a lot of us, if we face these things, we just throw in the towel and quit. A lot of times we want to quit anyway. I mean, the way gets a little tough and we get looking around, it don't seem like we're seeing anything happen, and we won't just throw in the towel and quit. Well, if anybody had a reason to quit, it would have been the Apostle Paul and these apostles. And most of them died martyr's death for the cause of Christ, for giving for a little more than just preaching the gospel. And yet we can't even give God our time to go to the house of God and to honor Him and to look for opportunities to give the gospel to those that we come into contact with. But we'll look at this thought this morning, what to do when you're rocked and left for dead. Well, first of all, we'll look at the revelation of the power of God. If there's anything we need today, it's the power of God in our lives. We need the power of God in our churches. We can't function without the power of God. We might function without a lot of things this morning. Hey, we might function a little bit without the monies and the finances that we need. But we can't function without the power of God in our life. And you can look and you can see the power power of the Spirit that rested upon the Apostle Paul. And you and I as believers, we need that same power resting in our lives this morning if we're going to accomplish anything in this day and hour that we're living in. If you've not looked around, if you're not taking notice, I mean, people are out here and it's going to take the power of God to move them. You can preach in most congregations today and people will look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. And it's going to take the power of God to move them. They're so occupied with the cares of this life. Our young people are so preoccupied with the peer pressures that's upon them, with the video games, with the music that they're listening to, with the temptations that they're faced out there every day. It's going to take the power of God to move our children. It's going to take the power of God to move our communities in this day and hour that we're living in. And we see there's no difference in the time that the Apostle Paul was here. And it took the power of God to move people. Now, we see a lot of times when the power of God is real, that might not happen like we would think it should, but I'm going to tell you, God in heaven knows what He's doing. He's sovereign, He's in control, and He's omniscient, He's omnipotent, and He knows exactly how to move people and what to do to accomplish what He plans to do. So we see the revelation of the power of God. We see here at Lystra, we see a real need that was met. In Lystra, Paul met a man who was impotent in his feet. He had been lame from his mother's womb and had never walked. When he heard Paul preach, he responded to the message. The passage states that Paul noticed his faith. Paul then commanded the man to stand up and walk. This man had never walked in his life, but he didn't have to stop to learn how. Hey, he didn't have to go to rehab to learn how to walk. He responded in faith, and the Bible tells us here in verse 10 that he leaped and he walked. It's similar to the story there in chapter 3 when Peter and John was going up to the temple to pray, and they come and they seen the man that sat at the gate that had been lame in his feet since his mother's womb. And we find that the power of God moved that day. And the same power that moved with Peter there as he told that man to take up his bed and walk, he rose and he leaped and he walked and he praised God. This man was similar to that same situation. He had a need that no one could meet. Yet we find here that Paul, he took notice of this man. And I think any man of God that's preaching, he'll take notice of the need in the people that he's preaching to. I mean, we're basically, this man is a picture of what we were. We were lame from our feet, from the fall. We were unable to come to God until God moved in our hearts. He showed us what we were, what we needed. And a lot of times we see that need in people in the congregation as we preach the gospel. Hey, we see that their need that they have, and we see those that's unwilling to move, but we can see those that God is touching their heart and moving in faith. And so we see here a real need that was met here with this lame man. No doubt this man would have probably went on his way. Could you imagine not never being able to walk, and you've been that way from your mother's womb, and then all of a sudden here comes a preacher by and he tells you to rise up and take up your bed and walk. And Paul seen that he had faith to believe. And we know that the one that really raised him up wasn't Paul. It wasn't Barnabas, but it was God. God seen that man's need, and he used the Apostle Paul and the apostolic powers that he had given them, and he had commissioned them to go out, that they would be honored, that God would honor their message, and he would authenticate the message during that period of time through those apostolic powers. And we find this man that was healed of the need that he had. And you know, that's the way sinners are. They have a need. They might not be conscious of it. They might not be looking at that moment in time every time you come into their presence. But they have a need that needs to be met. And that need is salvation. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved and you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, hey, you have a need, and that need is to accept Christ this morning. And I wish that I could do it for you. But it's a personal thing.
thing, friend. You've got to do it on your own. You've got to come to the point and place that that's all what you want in your life, that you want Jesus to change you, that you want Jesus to come into your life and to save you and forgive you of your sin. So we see a real need met here. We see a real power that was available. Although today's believers don't possess that miraculous healing power, we can be instructed by this passage, I believe. The lesson that we see and we can learn is that God's power is absolutely necessary if His work is to be accomplished. The reason we're not seeing people saved today is because we're not tapped into the power of God. We're so caught up in the things of this world. We're not living according to the truth of the Word of God. Hey, we're walking in the flesh. We're fulfilling the desires of the flesh. A lot of people are saved, but they're not endued with the power of God in their life. And the reason we're not seeing things accomplished today is because we're not experiencing the power in our lives. But that power is available, friend. I tell you this morning, it's just as available to you and I as it was to these apostles. God is no respecter of person, far as His power goes. If we'll meet the requirements, if we'll get to that point in place in our lives where we desire to have the power of God in our lives, we'll be obedient to the Word of God. Hey, we'll reckon ourselves to be dead on a regular basis and on a daily basis. I believe that we can have the power of God. Hey, if we'll get filled with the Spirit of God, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. The Bible tells us, be not drunk on wine, where's it said, but be ye filled with the Spirit. God wants every one of us in here in this church this morning. Young people, old people, middle-aged people, He wants every one of His children to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that's the only way we can experience the power of God. If we get to that point in place where we'll junk ourselves and we'll yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and let Him do what He desires to do in our lives. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, He said, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, friend, this morning, the Holy Spirit came into your life. You received the baptism of the Spirit. But God is able this morning to give you that power too, for the service of God that He desires for us to have. And it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives this morning if we see people get saved. It's going to take the power of God in our lives if we see our young people serving God and influenced by the Holy Spirit. It's going to take moms and dads getting to that point where if they want it in their lives, if they're going to get it and see it take place in their children's lives. Because the children are mimicking what we are a lot of times. We wonder about our children sometimes. Hey, yet they're just mimicking what they've seen down through the years. They may be saved, just like mom and dad, but they're not enjoying the power of God in their life because they're so carnal, because they're so caught up in the flesh. As the world and the things that's going on around, they want to be accepted today, and they're not experiencing the power of God that God wants us to have in our lives. The power of the Holy Spirit in our lives is only available as we walk in the truth of the Word of God. Hey, we're going to have to get in this book and let this book get in us if we're going to ever see God work in our lives. We're going to have to be obedient to the instruction book, hey, that He's given us. The reason so many churches are messed up across this land today is because they're not following the instruction book. Hey, their churches are not built upon the truth and the foundation of the apostles. They're not preaching the truth of the Word of God. They're not walking in truth that God would desire for us to do. But thank God that when we have real needs, I'm glad that He has real power if we'll just tap into that truth this morning. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our problem a lot of times, we're trying to go in our own power. We're trying to do it in the energy of the flesh. And we're not seeing things take place like they did in times past. Those old timers in times past, they knew that they had to have the power of God. They had to have the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives if they were going to experience revival in their lives, in their churches, in their families, and in their land. And if there's ever been a time we need to experience that power in our life, it's in this day and hour that we're living in. We see the revelation of the power of God, verses 8 to 10. Then we see the refusal of pride by the apostles there in verse 11 to 18. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, that likewise ye younger submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Hey, it would have been very easy for the Apostle Paul and Barnabas to have got lifted up in pride at this time. Here this young man, this man has been healed. It was lame from his mother's womb. Hey, these pagan believers seen him and they thought they're gods, you know, and they began to exalt them. They began to worship them. Yet we see the refusal of pride to build up in their life. We see here, number one, the approach of the pagan worshipers. Notice the strange action of the people when they saw what was done. There in verses 11 through 13. Said, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they seen this take place right before their eyes. You know, there's a lot of people that thinks they're seeing things today. They're out here, but these faith healers and all this that's going on, and people, is easy to accept those things. But here we find in this apostolic time when this man was healed, that was had been impotent, that was lame from his mother's womb, we see that the Bible says, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gate and would have done sacrifice with the people. So we see here, they seen what took place. They wanted to worship Paul and Barnabas. They wanted to give credit that they were gods, and that through these gods that this man had been healed. But we find that that Paul and Barnabas refused that. But we find here that it was common in both Greek and Roman mythology, which was believed by the people at Lystra, that the gods including Zeus or Jupiter and Hermes or Mercury came down to visit the people. And then we must always acknowledge the power of God as being from God instead of being from some other god. But these pagans, they had been taught that. You know, it's harder to unlearn than it is to learn. That why so many people are mixed up in today in this faith healing and all this stuff and these apostolic signs that they think that they're seeing today. It's harder to unlearn these things than it is to learn the right thing. I mean, it's easier to learn than it is to unlearn. They get these things in their mind, in their heart, and they think they've seen these things take place, and a lot of times it's just a little more than put on, and people see this happen, and they've not been grounded in the Word of God, and we find that they get caught up in the emotion of the situation. But here we see at a time when the power of God was being exhibited, God was using Paul and Barnabas to do this great miracle here, give this young man his faculties back, give him his faculties. He'd been lame from his mother's womb, but as they healed him and he began to walk, these people seen that take place. And they just thought, because they were pagans, they knew all about all this mythology. Mythology is just perverted scripture. You understand that about mythology. You look at a lot of the characters, Hercules and all these. It's just perverted scripture. And we find that these Greeks here, that they had been taught this and they had worshipped these other gods. And when they seen that, they had this desire and they approached the Apostle Paul and Barnabas and would offer sacrifice to them. They were trying to honor them because of this miracle that had taken place. But we need to always acknowledge that the power of God is being from God and not from another source. And we see that these people had gotten caught up in this. But because of the miraculous healing they had seen, the people were ready to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas, thinking them to be gods. And so we see the approach of the pagan worshipers. Then we see the answer of the apostles. We see that they tore their clothes. In verse 14, the Bible says, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying. We see that they refused here to accept the worship of these people, and they used the occasion to urge them to turn from the vanity of the true God. Any religion apart from God is vain. And I'm going to tell you, it don't matter if it's Mormonism, if it don't matter if it's Muslim, it don't matter if it's Hinduism. Any religion apart from God is vain. All contrary to what a lot of these religious teachers teach today, all roads don't lead to heaven. All roads don't lead to God. There's only one way. That way is through Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that He made there upon Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago, and the resurrection from the dead, which we'll be celebrating on next Sunday. But any religion apart from God and the truth of the Scriptures is in vain. It's just futile. It's not beneficial. And there's a lot of people in this world that's worshiping according to false teachings that they've received, and they're on their way to hell. I don't care how good a person is. If they're not coming through Jesus, they're coming the wrong way. And it's all in vain. But Paul didn't try to combine their worship with Christianity a lot of times, as some of them do. I know there's a lot of controversy about Billy Graham, and they said that, and I've heard this before, that when people would get saved in his meetings, he would send them back to the churches where they come from, whether it was Catholic. That's not right. I mean, you get people saved, you got to teach them, you send them back to a Bible-believing church. You tell them to find a church that will preach the truth. If they go back into Catholicism, hey, they're not going to be able to please God. They're going to still be in that false teaching that they're teaching there. And so we see that Paul didn't try to combine their worship with Christianity. He was pointing them to one true Creator God, since they weren't familiar with the Old Testament there in verses 15 through 18. You can go back and read those, but we see what he dealt with. He dealt with the Old Testament Scriptures, and he tried to show them. He tried to point them to the real and true God that had created this universe, that it wasn't these gods that they were recognizing. It wasn't these gods that they were worshiping. Hey, but it was the God of the Elohim. It was God Jehovah that had created this world and put this world and the planets into orbit, and the ones that they were worshiping was just mere gods of their mind that they had been taught and had been handed down to. But we see the refusal of pride. Paul and Barnabas could very well and very easily have accepted their sacrifices, their worship, and they could have tried to have said, well, you know, you're earnest in your beliefs, that'll get you to heaven. No, Paul told them, and he tried to teach them, and he tried to show them that what they were worshiping was vain, that there was only one true God. There was only one way to heaven, and it was through Jesus Christ and the gospel that they were preaching. So we see here the refusal of pride from the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. We see the revelation of the power of God. And then we see, thirdly, we see the response to persecution there in verses 19 through 20. The Bible says, and there came thither certain Jews. Here's these Jews, these religious Jews. Religion is wicked today. Religion is mean. I mean, there's a lot of people in this world that's religious people, and they'll give you problems. Hey, there's religious people in our churches today. They may not really truly be saved, but we see religious people cause a lot of problems in the church. So we see the response to persecution. We see here the stoning of the Apostle Paul. I mean, this is getting pretty serious when people will take up stones and stone a man to death for little more than trying to tell them the truth, for trying to help them, for trying to get them on the right path, for trying to give them the gospel, the good news that Jesus has died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day. And it brought on persecution. Can you imagine people stoning you? We don't see no stonings today. All we get is a few tongue lashings every once in a while, but we don't get no lashings by a whip here in the United States. We get a little persecution sometimes, little problems from religious people that wants to keep separation of church and state. These folks are religious. I mean, they don't want to hear anything about Jesus. You can talk about God in general. You can compare Muslims with Christianity and say they're just alike, but they're different. They're not serving the true God. They're not serving and honoring Jesus for dying for their sins. But we see here the stoning of the Apostle Paul. The same leaders who had opposed Paul in Antioch and Iconium came to Lystra and persuaded the people to kill Paul, following the Jewish practice of stoning for capital punishment. I mean, these people were zealous of their religion. They were jealous because these people were trusting Christ. They were jealous because here the Apostle Paul, that was once a Pharisee that was under the law, Jesus had met him and he had changed his message, and he was trying to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. And this same crowd, hey, they wanted wanted to worship him was not going to do. They were going to use them to stone him at this time. But these same leaders that had been given problems, I mean, they were zealous to follow the Apostle Paul to another town. And here they stirred up these Greeks and wanted them and using them to do the job that they wanted to do themselves. The people supposed that he was dead, and some believed that he did die and was brought back to life. Now, we can speculate about that all we want, and Paul very well may have died there. That could be the event where he was called up into the third heaven. He seen things that that shouldn't been uttered. You know, he said he seen things that had took place in heaven. That could have been the very time that the Apostle Paul experienced this in life. I don't know. The Bible don't say that. It said that they supposed him to be dead. We do know that he was stoned pretty hard, so bad that he looked like he was dead. And he could have been dead. But we see here as they stoned the Apostle Paul, but he didn't give up. We see not only the stoning of the Apostle Paul, but we see the steadfastness of the Apostle Paul. Thank God there were disciples here that gathered around him that encouraged him. And I'm glad today that there's always those that are standing true. Hey, they're standing faithful. And no doubt Apostle Paul here, he had Barnabas was standing there. It's a possibility that even Timothy could have been there and he could have seen a real man of God and learned that the ministry involves sacrifice a lot of times. And we see here that at the stoning of the Apostle Paul and those that was gathered around and those that was encouraging to him, we see the steadfastness of the Apostle Paul, that he didn't give up. You know, the devil would like for us to give up today. He'd like for us to throw in the towel. He'd like for us to say, enough. Let's just go on and enjoy our life, get away from all this persecution, all these problems, all these things that's happening, all these small crowds. Let's just go somewhere and get in a big church somewhere and just evaporate and just sort of get in among the crowd, get lost in the crowd. Go where it's not so demanding. They said Vance Havner told a story about an elderly lady who was greatly disturbed by her many troubles, both real and some imaginary. Finally, someone in her family tactfully told her, said, "Grandma, we've done all we can do for you. You'll just have to trust God for the rest." Said a look of despair spread over her face as she replied, "Oh dear, has it come to that?" Havner commented, said, "It's always come to that. So we might as well begin with that." And, you know, we just need to give our troubles to God, our problems, our persecutions, the things that is trying to tear us down. We just need to rely on the God that can solve our problem, that can help us through that problem. We see what Paul did when this took place, steadfastness of the Apostle Paul. We see, number one, he rose up. He didn't stay down. Said, howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, said, he rose up. A lot of people get knocked down. If they get stoned per se, they just give up from that moment on. But he said he rose up in verse 20. And it says he walked in verse 20. Said he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So we see he rose up. He walked in. And he kept preaching in verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. So we see he rose up, he walked in, he kept preaching. If anybody ever had a reason to quit preaching, it would have been the Apostle Paul. Every time he went somewhere, something happened. He either ended up in jail, he either ended up stoned, he either ended up whipped. But we see the steadfastness of the Apostle Paul. He just rose up, he walked in, and he kept on preaching the Word of God. He kept doing what he knew was right to do. And it's right for us to just keep preaching, even though people don't want to hear preaching today. They want something more easy. Hey, they want you to give them, tell them how good they are. And they want you to pat them on the back. They don't want to hear preaching. But the next day, Paul walked 40 miles after being stoned. Can you imagine? He walked 40 miles to Derbe in order to preach the same gospel. How many of us won't even drive 40 miles, let alone walk 40 miles, especially after being stoned? We see the steadfastness of the Apostle Paul. He walked 40 miles to Derbe in order to preach the same gospel that got him stoned in Lystra. The best way to answer your critics is to accomplish the task that God sent you to do. Instead of giving up and giving in, just go on. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I'm of the persuasion that we don't have much time left. As we look around and we see things shaping up, I believe Jesus could come at any moment. And besides that, we're not promised tomorrow. Unless you've not noticed, you go up and down the expressways and you look at the cars coming by you, people's texting, you're in danger. As David said, you're one step away from death. We're not promised tomorrow. Hey, we have loved ones that's on their way to hell. We have children that are on their way to hell, and yet we refuse to yield ourselves to God and to experience the power of God in our lives. That we could be a blessing and we could be an influence. That we could be used mightily of God in this day and hour that we're living in. The longer we fight a trial, the longer it takes to learn the lesson. Congressman J.C. Watts said, it doesn't take a lot of strength to hang on. It takes a lot of strength to let go. And how true that is. This morning. How true it is. It takes a lot of strength to let go of what this society has given us, of what this society is doing, of what the majority of this world is going after. It just comes a point in your life that you got to let go of this kind of stuff. You got to look to the Lord. You got to get up, go in, and just keep on preaching. As the Apostle Paul did. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. I thank God that they were some steadfast believers all down through the years. I want to be that steadfast believer, don't you? What to do when you're rocked and left outside the city for dead? Just keep on keeping on. Get hooked into the power of God. That's what we need here at Open Door Baptist Church. We need the power of God. We need the reality of knowing that God can and that He will do what He said. And He can use us if we get filled with the Spirit and the power of God. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You'll take it, lodge it in our hearts, that we'll realize, Lord, this morning, the most important thing and the most thing that we need today is the power of God in our lives. Lord, I pray that You'll help us take example from the Apostle Paul. Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning that's lost and don't know You as their Savior, Lord, I pray that this will be the day that they'll come to trust You in the free pardon of sin. Lord, I pray now that You'll speak as we give the invitation. Lord, I pray that You'll use the message to touch the hearts of individuals, whatever the need might be. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.